we present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Dennis Ramsden, and Simon Merrick. Episode 4, Obstruction, featuring this week's guest star, Joan Sims.
Roger, what's all this in Adolf?
Morning, Sally. I'm putting a bit of a shine on the old car.
I could do with it. Why today? Haven't you any work to do?
Not till later. Grab a rag and lend a hat.
Oh, all right.
Now, tell you what, dustpan and brush. You can do the inside.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. And when you've done that, you can have a go at the leather.
It isn't leather.
What? Oh, well, polish up the PVC then. Burnish it till it shines like a garden boot. Go on, Sally, you can rub hard on that.
Heaven's sake, Roger. Is this how you're going to treat me when we're married?
Of course.
Like a slave?
Like a wife.
Cleaning the car's the husband's job.
Ah, but I'm not a husband yet. Harder, Sally, harder. I want to see it clean.
Roger, what is all this about? You never cared before what the car looked like. For heaven's sake, stop that da-da-dee-da.
But that's what it's all about.
What is?
Cleaning the car for the wedding.
Whose wedding?
Ours, of course. Do you think I'd treat you like a wife for someone else's wedding?
Roger, darling.
Darling, Sally.
No, don't kiss me now.
Why not?
You're wet.
Say, that's a rotten thing to say. I may not be as tough as I look, but...
Roger.
What's that?
Look at your shirt.
Well, must you criticize everything? It's an old one I put on to do the car.
Your shirt is wet.
Well, of course it is, splashing all this water about.
Well, that's why I don't want you to kiss me now, because I don't want to get wet.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Let's start again, shall we?
Start what?
About cleaning the car for the wedding.
That's right, keep polishing.
Are you out of your mind?
No, just wet.
By the time we're in a position to get married, this car will be on the scrap heap.
Oh, I don't know. It ought to keep running more than a week.
A week?
Yes, we're getting married next week.
Oh, Roger, you know it's not possible.
Oh, yes, it is. We've got a common license, so we don't have to wait for banns to be published.
You are out of your mind.
No, I assure you, I've been into it all. Back to your polishing, woman. I want to see it gleam.
Roger, darling, I won't marry you without a penny in the bank and nowhere to live. How many times have I told you?
I've lost count.
I still mean it.
But it doesn't apply anymore.
Why not?
I've got it all fixed.
How?
Till we find our own flat, we live at home.
Roger, darling, even if I did agree to start living in your mother's house, there is the other little matter.
Which matter?
Money. Money in the bank.
It'll be there tomorrow.
How much?
How much will you settle for?
A few hundred, anyway.
How few?
Well...
400 be enough?
Well, I suppose so. But you haven't got £4, let alone 400.
I will have if you'll only get on with the polishing.
What's that got to do with... Roger, you're not selling your car.
Of course, I told you.
No, you didn't.
I'm sure I did. Selling the car for da-da-dee-da.
Can't do it.
Why not?
Well, how will you get a boat?
Well, I haven't quite lost the use of my legs.
You love this old car.
I love this old girl, too. When we're married, we'll still be able to go in the country at the weekend.
By train?
No, I've got my eye on a second-hand tandem. You look sweet upon the seat.
Oh. Darling, I don't know what to say.
I've never known you at a loss for words before. I hope you won't be with Mr. Foy.
Who's he?
The man you're going to sell the car to.
Me?
Yes, he'll be here at 12 o'clock. He wants to look it over and then go for a drive.
Well, why didn't you take him yourself?
Well, I've got to see a client, you see. In fact, I ought to go and change now.
You'll be in chambers then if I want to get hold of you.
No, not this afternoon.
Well, where are you seeing your client, then?
In the feathers, actually.
What sort of a client do you meet in a pub?
It's only a solicitor's clerk. I must dash now.
Roger, is the solicitor Joy's uncle, by any chance?
Mr. Merivale, why on earth did you think that? I'll see you later.
And is Joy herself the clerk?
I can't hear a word you say. Keep polishing and be nice to Mr. Foy.
I'll be nice to Mr. Foy if you promise not to be nice to Joy.
Joy! This is getting to be too much of a good thing.
Don't be silly, darling. You can't have too much of a good thing.
Enough's as good as a feast.
But we haven't had enough yet, have we, Roger?
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I do, darling. Only, I don't think I could ever have enough of you.
No, you can't have too much of a good thing, Oscar. No, that's not right. Look, you've got me confused.
I know, darling. You have the same effect on me. You make me lose all self-control.
Well, don't you dare lose it in here.
Where should we go, then? For a ride in your car?
No, you can forget that. No more joyride's car. I mean, car rides joy.
Why ever not, Roger?
Because of da-da-dee-da.
What are you talking about?
Goodbye, Joy.
Where are you going?
The registry office.
Silly boy, you can't run away now. I've got to tell you about this brief.
All right, then. Well, what is the case?
My uncle will tell you all about it. He's coming to see you in your chambers this afternoon.
But if he's coming to see me himself, what on earth are you doing here now?
Can't you guess?
Yes, I can. It's not good enough.
Of course it isn't, darling, in here. But if we were to drive in your car...
Out of the question. My car is otherwise engaged.
Never mind. I've got mine round the corner. We'll go in that.
We will not.
Roger?
No.
Darling?
No. Oh, well... As long as you're driving, we don't stop.
Well, what do you think of her, Mr. Foy? Runs beautifully, doesn't she? A real bargain at $425. Goodness, what on earth is that woman playing at? She can't stop there in the middle of the traffic. Hey, you can't stop there. You're holding everything up.
I won't be a minute. Something to say to the car in front.
I say.
Yes, madam?
I thought I ought to tell you that your left indicator is out.
I am about to turn left, madam.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. I won't be a moment. I was just telling him about his indicator. If the car starts all right, I won't be a jiffy.
Yeah, that's what comes of doing a good turn.
All right now. Shan't be a minute.
Look out! Stay back! Stop, you fool! I'm so sorry. I must have slipped into the wrong gear. I hope you've got a decent insurance company. Mine are being rather beastly at the moment.
Ah, come in, Mr. Merivale.
Hello, Roger. How are you, my boy? Managing to keep abreast of the work?
Just about, Mr. Merivale, thank you.
Done any murder cases recently, my boy?
To be quite frank, Mr. Merivale, I haven't. Is that what you brought me?
Not exactly. Had any big commercial cases?
Well, I had a case under a hire purchase agreement.
Hire purchase, eh? What was the sum involved?
As a matter of fact, it was £20.
A test case, I expect. 5,000 cases depended upon the result, I imagine. I didn't know you acted for the Universal Finance Company.
Actually, I was appearing for a Mr. Brown.
Aye. One of the big chaps, not gone public yet. What was your client exactly?
To be quite truthful, Mr. Merivale, he was an unemployed refuse collector.
Very important job, refuse collecting. Very interesting, too. Ah, now to business. I've brought you a criminal case.
That sounds exciting, Mr. Merivale.
Well, perhaps not quite as exciting as your murders. You haven't done any murders, have you? Well, your manslaughter's then. Grievous bodily harm, forgery, perjury, fraud even. Burglary and housebreaking, carrying housebreaking implements by night.
Really? Is this all by the same man, Mr. Merivale?
Yeah. It's a woman, Roger.
She must be quite a girl.
She is quite a girl, Roger. But she hasn't done any of the things I mentioned.
Not treason, by any chance?
No, nor lying down in the Strand. As a matter of fact, it's not the sort of case I should have brought to anyone of your distinction in the ordinary way. My client is, as you so rightly say, quite a girl. And she has quite a lot of money, and she wants to win her case.
Is it at the Old Bailey, by any chance?
No, Roger. They don't yet take cases of obstruction by a motor car at the Old Bailey.
Oh, it's only a parking offence.
It is not a parking offence, Roger. It is obstruction by a motor car. When you meet my client, Mrs. Polgate, you must know all the differences between parking offences and obstruction. You don't, I take it.
Well, not entirely. I could easily mug it up, Mr. Merivale.
Mug it up? I prefer you to master it thoroughly.
What? Actually, that's what I meant, Mr. Merivale.
It's quite true, Roger, that my name is Merivale. But I don't need to be reminded of it every other sentence.
No, of course not, Mr. M.
That's a little better. Now, I better tell you about Mrs. Polgate, our client. She'll be here shortly, and I wanted to have a word with you about her first. She's a charming woman, and one of the most courteous I've ever met. The number of times she's been run into from behind because she courteously gave way suddenly to someone passing in front, I simply can't remember. The one thing you can rely on, Roger, is that she's absolutely truthful. The other day, in a long line of traffic, she suddenly ran into a car in front of her. It was brand new. The driver came back and said to her, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" To which Mrs. Polgate replied, "I'm terribly sorry, I was reading." Her family have a lot of trusts, which I manage for them, and so they're clients I want to keep. If she's convicted of this offence, she'll take all her work away from me, and I shall have you to thank for it.
But, Mr. Merivale, I can't guarantee to win, particularly if she's guilty.
Mrs. Polgate to see you, sir.
Well, you'd better have her in, Roger.
Very good.
Come in, Mrs. Polgate. This is your counsel, Mr. Roger Thursby.
Oh, how kind of you to see me. Trouton, did you say?
No, Thursby.
Well, it's very kind of you anyway to be bothered with my little affairs. But they are very important to me, Mr. T. I've got such a bad memory for names, Mr. T, that if you'll forgive me, I'll call you that. Otherwise, I shall be saying Mr. Troughton or Mr. Trollope or whatever comes into my head. You'll get me off, won't you?
Well, actually, Mrs. Polegate, I haven't...
I was telling you, Mr. Thursby, Mrs. Polegate was in one of 12 cars parked by the side of a main road.
Parked, did you say, Mr. Merivale?
But it was not at an authorized parking place, nor was it at a meter. Now, there were 12 cars there, Mr. Thursby, and only one driver has been charged, Mrs. Polegate.
Yes, and they call this democracy.
But, do you know why they chose you, Mrs. Polegate?
Well, Mr. G, I think it was because they thought I was a defenseless woman. But I'm not, Mr. P. I have you defended.
Yeah, what is the actual offense with which you're charged? Or perhaps I should say, with which they have the unfairness to charge you.
Oh, how right you are. Unfair. That's what it is.
Now, have you any witnesses?
Oh, of course I have. 16.
16? Well, what do they say?
They say what a good, courteous, careful driver I am.
Now, were any of them at the scene of the accident? I mean, at the scene of the obstruction.
What obstruction, Mr. Thursby?
Oh, the alleged obstruction, I should have said.
Well, I tried to get a witness at the time. The man in the car in front of me, but the policeman was there, and the driver said he was going to get away before he was charged too.
I see. Well, look, I think we'd better go down and see the place for ourselves. Is that possible, Mr. Merivale?
Certainly, if you advise it.
I'll drive you there. You'll be quite safe.
Well, I tell you what, if you'll excuse me, I'll just go and get my hat and coat. I won't keep you a minute.
Come in. Yeah, what can I do for you, my dear fella?
Right. Obstruction by motor car, Grimes. In two words, if you can.
I give it you in one, my dear fella. Dope.
But what is the offense?
Leaving your car so as to be an unnecessary obstruction.
Well, there's no evidence that my client's car obstructed anyone.
Isn't there now?
By the way you said that, Grimes, you seem to think it doesn't make any difference whether an obstruction was caused or not.
It doesn't?
Well, surely it ought.
My dear fellow, it ought to, yes, but it don't. You see, my dear fellow, the highway's made for passing and repassing, and theoretically, every driver is entitled to go on every part of the highway. So if you've left your car by the side of the road, you're preventing somebody from using that bit of the road.
But even though he doesn't want to use it?
Yeah, even though he doesn't want to use it. Yeah. The only place you can safely leave your car is at a meter or in an authorized parking place.
Well, what's a parking offense?
For example, leaving your car too long in a meter. Leaving your car in the wrong position in an authorized place. Something of that sort.
Well, what defense have I got?
None, my dear fellow.
But look, it's a client of Mr. Merivale's, a very good client of his. He says he'll lose her if I lose the case.
You better say goodbye to her now, my dear fellow.
Yeah, but what can I do? Can't I fight the case?
Oh, yes, you can fight the case, my dear fellow. Yeah. Let your client plead not guilty. You call her to say that no one was obstructed. You can call half the neighborhood to say that no one was obstructed. You can show that your client has an unblemished record and that there were 13 cars left just like your client's and she was the only one charged. And you can make an impassioned speech to the magistrate, lasting half an hour if he doesn't order you to sit down before that. And the result will be your client will be fined at least twice as much as anybody else.
Well, what do you advise then?
Only one answer to this situation, my dear fellow. That's tact.
But how do you use it?
You tell your client what a wicked thing the law is. Now if there was any justice in the world, she'd be acquitted with triumph. And while you're saying the same thing to the magistrate, you give him a wink or two, which will tell him you're only putting on an act because you've got a difficult client.
But I can't do that, Grimes. Wink at a magistrate? I'd probably get reported to the benches of my inn.
Well, it all depends on how you wink, my dear fellow. Right on me.
What? Well, all right. Well, now, what about this?
Whew! You'd certainly get reported if you did it like that, my dear fella. Oh, perhaps you're really right to eschew the wink, my dear fella.
Mr. Merivale and Mrs. Polegate are rather anxious to go.
That's all right. Off you go, then, my dear fella. Tell them the tale. Tell them the tale.
Well, here we are, gentlemen.
Good Lord. Is this your car?
Yes, Roger. This is Mrs. Polegate's car.
Dear little bus, isn't she?
A little battered, isn't it?
Well, you know how careless some drivers are. Come in. It'll do anything.
Except start.
Ah, here we are. Off we go.
Mrs. Polegate,
You can't go that way. It's one way.
Well, it's too late now, really, isn't it? We better hope.
Why, this is a one-way street.
I know. My young friend just told me it's quite all right. Ah, here we are on the embankment. Isn't that good? I'm terribly sorry. I really am terribly sorry. Do you think that I ought to get out and tell that driver I'm terribly sorry?
Mrs. Bogart, please. We'd better to get the car straight first.
Ah, I see what you mean. Oh, he's gone now. So take his number and then I can write to him. Ah, here we are. There's a nice little space between those two cars. I'll leave it there.
Sorry, but you can't leave your car here, madam.
On Her Majesty's service, officer.
I beg your pardon?
On Her Majesty's service.
Are you with this lady, sir?
Yes, I'm her solicitor, and this is her counsel.
The lady said something about On Her Majesty's service.
That's right, isn't it? We are here about my case in one of Her Majesty's courts. Without let or hint. That's what it says.
On your passport, madam?
My passport? Make a note of this, Mr. Merivale. Here am I, an English woman in an English town, and I'm called upon to produce my passport.
Officer, do you think we could possibly stay here just for 10 minutes or so without let or hindrance?
All right, but don't let it be longer.
Ah, you gave him the passport.
You
just, he's gone away.
No, no, Mrs. Bogart, no. It was you who did that. It was your without let or hindrance.
You'd better give yourself a strong drink, Roger. You'll need it.
How did you know? Oh, Sally, I'm really in a spot now.
I know you are, Roger.
You seem to know everything. Who told you?
I was there.
I didn't notice you.
Well, how could you? You weren't there.
Wasn't I?
Pull yourself together, Roger. I was with Mr. Foy at the time.
Well, I'm talking about the case of this maniac woman driver.
So am I.
There can't be two of them.
Mine is the one who backed into your car this morning.
Oh, good heavens, did someone really do that? Bounced off the overrider, I suppose.
No, Roger. Smashed a headlight, dented a wing, and you'll need a new radiator.
Oh.
And, of course, there may be more damage that hasn't been spotted yet.
Yes, but often it... Oh, Sally, it's not true. You're sending me up.
I wish I was.
Oh, well, we may have to put off the wedding for a week or so. But I suppose Mr. Foy will still buy the car after it's been repaired, and insurance will pay for all that.
Roger, darling, you are only covered for third party.
Absolute nonsense. Full comprehensive. Oh, no! You're right. I remember now. It was so much cheaper.
And the maniac woman's only got third party, too. So if you wanted to pay, you'll have to sue.
But that'll take months. Years, perhaps.
I know. Poor Roger. No da-da-de-da. Unless, of course, you get a sudden rush of fabulous briefs.
Don't talk to me about fabulous briefs. Haven't I enough troubles?
Tell me about this one. I presume it's from old Merivale.
I don't know why you should presume anything of the sort. But by a strange coincidence, it is. And what's more, Merivale says he'll lose the client if we don't win, and it's impossible to win. I've looked up all the cases, and Grimes says so, too. There's absolutely no defense of any kind to the charge.
Well, you must put up a good show, that's all. How many witnesses have you got?
Don't talk about witnesses, please. She wants me to call 20. 16 as to her driving character. 4 to say that cars were always being left in that particular place and the drivers aren't prosecuted. Then we've got the measurements of the road, which she took herself and got 2 people to come and witness. If you ask me by the time we've finished, the magistrate will be so angry that he'll have us all marched off to the nick.
Don't be a defeatist, Roger. You won't be the first lawyer to have a lunatic for a client. And you've got through worse difficulties than this.
When?
This morning, when I was being nice to Foy and you were being nice to George.
Sally, I wasn't. Well, not very nice. Enough's as good as a... Look, this has got nothing to do with it. The point is, I've got to keep in with Merivale, so I've got to win this case. But nobody could win this case, so I won't be able to keep in with Merivale.
Well, there are other solicitors.
The trouble is, there are other barristers, too.
Cheer up, Roger. Just do your best. Nobody can expect more. And I'll be there in court to give you moral support.
Oh, will you? No, I shouldn't bother to come into the court if I were you.
Why? Will Joy be there?
Giving me moral support. No, 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 no. Why on earth should Joy be there? Joy! Why on earth are you here? As if I didn't know.
You ought to know, darling. It's such an important case. And if it goes wrong, it may not be so easy to wangle my uncle into sending me along again.
Really? Well, that's something.
Roger, why do you keep looking round in that furtive way?
Would you call it furtive?
Highly furtive. Are you expecting Sally?
What's the time?
2:10.
Then I'm not expecting Sally. I told her we wouldn't be on till 3:00 the latest.
Oh, darling, you are cunning. You were hoping I'd be gone by the time she got here.
I'm sure you will be.
Let's wait and see, shall we, Roger?
Now, look here, Joy. Enough's as good as a feast, and you can't have too much of a good thing. Oh, my God. There's that maniac driver.
Ah, Mr. Grimsby, how good to see you. You give me confidence, and in case you're feeling at all nervous, I've got all our witnesses lined up. There they are, over there. My father was a major general. That's why they're all standing to attention.
Well, don't you think you might put them at ease now? It'll be some time before the case is called off.
Oh, I'll do better than that. I'll stand them easy. I'll tell them at once.
Oh, Usher. Oh, Usher, there you are.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me, is there much in the list before the summons is?
Well, sir, Mr. Frith Wyndham's in a case, and I don't know if you know what that means.
Frith Wyndham? I'm not sure that I do.
If you go into court, Roger, you will.
Oh, Mrs. Fogate, I'm just going into court. Perhaps you'll wait, sir, for Mr. Merivale, and he'll bring you in.
Oh, Mr. Merivale, there you are. I've seen Mr. Thursday. He's gone into court.
I think we might both join him, Mrs. Fogate. Come along. I'll show you.
Well, Mr. Frith Wyndham, will you be much longer?
As long as may be necessary, sir. As long as will enable me to make my points clearly, and as long as may be necessary for you to understand them.
Well, what is your best point, Mr. Frith Wyndham?
There is no best point, sir. They are all good. Some better than others, perhaps, but every one of them should be enough to make you dismiss this charge.
Mr. Frith Wyndham, might I remind you of the evidence? Your client was seen by a store detective to take 3 packets of tea, 2 bottles of Worcester sauce, 1 bottle of pickles, and 2 other items which I forget, to put them in her bag and to go out of the shop without paying. When she was asked if she'd paid, she said she had. Subsequently, she admitted that that was untrue. When asked for an explanation, she said that she'd never done it before and that she hoped they'd let her off as a first offender. You now say that she was not guilty at all.
Indeed I do, sir. Have you never thought you'd posted a letter when you hadn't posted it? Of course you have, sir. You felt sure you'd posted it. And why did you feel sure? You felt sure because it was your duty to post it. And if anybody had asked you if you posted it, you'd say, yes, I have posted it.
What on earth has this case got to do with posting letters?
If you'll be good enough to listen, sir, you will learn. My client felt sure that she paid for the goods because it was her duty to pay for them. She'd always paid for them in the past, and naturally she'd assumed that she'd pay for them this time. So, that gets rid of that bit of evidence against her.
It does nothing of the kind. Go on.
I shall indeed go on, sir. Is it not perfectly natural that an innocent person brought up against the law for the first time in her life would feel like a criminal? She was terrified out of her life and said anything that came into her head. And when she said she'd never done it before, of course she hadn't done it before. But what had she not done before?
Well, I hope she hadn't stolen anything.
Of course, it is no doubt very difficult for you, sir, when you have so many thieves up in front of you, telling you cock and bull stories, to believe the word of anyone except a policeman.
You've no business to say that. Look, I'm being very patient with you, Mr. Frith Wyndham, but I'm not going to stand much more of it.
I don't consider you are being in the least patient, sir. You've interrupted me on at least 6 occasions, and each time you've said something fairly offensive. If goaded sufficiently, I can be offensive too, sir.
Yes, we can agree upon that, Mr. Frith Wyndham.
Finally, sir, I ask you to bear in mind that my client is a woman of unblemished character. Before you can convict her, you have to be satisfied of her guilt beyond all reasonable doubt. She made no attempt to conceal what she was doing. She went into the shop perfectly openly, and she went out of the shop perfectly openly. Everything she did was open and above board. She behaved in a way that your own wife might have behaved, sir. If you have a wife.
Mr. Frith Wyndham, I thought you said finally.
If you keep interrupting, sir, there will be no finally at all.
Oh, I can assure you, Mr. Frith Wyndham, there will be.
Well, let me say this, sir. With all the gravity I can command. If you convict my client of this crime, it will be one of the greatest injustices which you perpetrated in your magisterial life. And that, I may add, sir, would be saying something.
Mrs. Jones, I find the case against you proved. You'll be fined £2. Call the next case, please.
Mr. Merivale, wasn't that counsel simply splendid? Do you think Mr. Thursby will be as good?
I have no doubt of it, Mrs. Fogate.
I'm afraid the magistrate's not in a very good frame of mind, Roger.
I'm not in a very good frame of mind myself.
It is Mrs. Fogate here.
Yes?
Would you come forward, please? You're charged with leaving a car so as to cause an unnecessary obstruction in Endley Street on the 15th of January last. Are you guilty or not guilty?
I appear for the defendant in this case, sir. She pleads not guilty.
I should like to say that myself. I am not guilty.
Yes, well, you'll be pleased to hear, Mrs. Polegate, that the officer in this case has left the force and can't be traced. Accordingly, the summons will be dismissed. Call the next one, please.
Oh, but I've got 20 witnesses and myself to prove that I'm innocent.
It won't be necessary, madam. The case is dismissed.
But I have got all my witnesses.
Yes, but the case is dismissed, madam.
And I've measured the room.
The case is dismissed, madam.
Look, I want to tell you about the...
You can't, madam. Your case is over.
But it hasn't begun.
Well, you can't do more than win your case, madam. Some people would be very pleased.
But you...
some people might even think they were lucky.
But my witnesses...
Madam, please.
And my tape measure.
Madam, will you please leave the court? I've got another other case to try.
Oh, Roger, what rotten luck.
What do you mean, Joy? We won.
I know, darling, you're so terribly clever, but you weren't meant to.
What are you talking about? She's one of your uncle's most valued clients.
No, darling. Her family and all the trusts, yes. But he can't stand that woman. He really wanted her to lose, so she'd remove her business. I mean, he couldn't ask her to in case the rest of them got snooty. But if she walked out in a huff, well, they all know her.
But this is monstrous. You mean I was briefed to lose the case?
Oh, no. That wouldn't be right, would it?
None of this is right.
No, Roger, none of this is right, is it?
Kindly don't interrupt when I'm talking to... Sally!
Remember me? Da-da-di-da. How do you do, Sarah?
How do you do, Joyce?
I'm afraid the case is over. Our boys made a nonsense of it again.
What do you mean, our boys?
What do you mean, nonsense?
Oh, dear. There's that awful woman chasing my uncle. Roger, that's her.
That's who?
The maniac driver who bashed up your car.
What? Mrs. Polegate?
Yes, I believe that was her name.
That figures. But, Sally, I oughtn't have been defending her when I was suing her.
No, darling, you oughtn't to have been.
And she's the one who's put an end to da-da-di-da.
For the time being, certainly.
There's always a silver lining. But I do hope my poor uncle got away from her.
Mr. Merivale, this is most...
But you won your case, Mrs. Polegate.
On a technicality, do you call that justice? All those witnesses waiting to speak and all the measurements, and I wasn't allowed to say a word myself.
Perhaps young Thursby is a little inexperienced.
Inexperienced? Did you hear that other counsel? Now there's a chap worth a bob or two. And you fought me off with this Bugsy. Mr. Merivale, I shall remove all my business from your firm.
You don't mean that.
I do.
Thank heaven.
What did you say? You brute!
You who? Madam! Madam, stop swinging that hand! Who? Madam, you do me a mischief! Oh, madam!
What are we waiting for, Roger?
I know what I'm waiting for.
We all know that.
Such a sweet nature your fiancé has, Roger.
Oh, do you think so?
Roger, my dear boy, I'm glad you're still here.
Glad? But we won the case.
Yes, indeed, splendid. Most impressive performance.
But Mrs. Polegate's still your client.
Indeed, she isn't. She removed her business, then attacked me with her bag. Now there's a prosecution pending.
Good for you, sir. You're prosecuting for a GBH, I suppose. Assault by handbag.
Don't be a fool, Roger. She's prosecuting me for assault, because I pushed her away.
You gave her a sort of shove, you mean?
Exactly. Will you take the case, my dear boy?
Defending you, Mr. Merivale.
Some bloody fool's got to.
In that case, I'm your man.
Episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows: Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Merivale, Dennis Ramsden, Mrs. Polegate, Joan Sims, Frith Wyndham, Simon Merrick, Magistrate Garrard Green, and all the other parts by Martin Friend. Obstruction was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, and the program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.